Here we go.
Lillard, a chance to send the Thunder home. Lillard, long range three, and it's good! At the buzzer, Damian Lillard, are you kidding me? Back to Doncic. Doncic pulls up, three-pointer, bang, bang, it's good! Doncic wins the game at the buzzer! James catches, puts up the three, won't go, rebound Bosh, back out to Allen, his three-pointer, bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining! Spurs do not have a timeout!
This is Menace to Picks.
No, you're loving that new NBA intro. Five stars. We're fired up. Playoff special, baby. We're back with the sportsbook joker, the coach who's been going crazy with the horse racing picks. We got our West Coast capper that, as we look back, we'll review. West Coast capper lit the first round on fire. We are absolutely loaded. JG the Joker is buzzing this weekend. Our bets were insane. Coach, talk to me real quick.
Banger of a weekend at the Belmont. Crushed that. Bunch of other wins. Just hit the Memorial winner. Big weekend.
With Cantlay. Hell yeah. We had last night, we gave out two freebies on Twitter. The Angels to win. The Angels in the team total. We had the Yankees Red Sox over last night is an infinity lock. We've had the Clippers. Oh my God, the lock of the month. We had them as a lock of the month like four or five different times this series. West Coast capper, how you feeling out there in the desert, sir?
I'm feeling pretty good about things. I just got back from Vegas 2 weekends ago, and let's just say that I lit it up again. I like driving out there and driving back.
You gotta love it. I mean, it doesn't get too much better to, you know, be out there in the that time zone doing your thing, making money, yes, having a good time.
Yeah, good times, man. It's a 6-hour drive. If you push it a little bit, you can get there a little sooner.
Yeah, through the desert, get out there and get it in.
Straight through the desert. It's good stuff.
Coach, talk to me about the horse racing tier, my man. I mean,
started up the Minister Racing just this week, and it's been going off. We gave out maybe like a week or so of free picks. Just started the subscription model this week in time for Belmont. Just winner after winner. I mean, it was incredible this weekend. Just all kinds of exactas. We had trifectas hidden. We had rolling pick threes, pick fours, on the sheet, you know, and the ones we look at all the stats and we put in the analytical approach. We try to find the most practical selections, and they've been producing. And then we're also looking at adding the Ricky's Bombs tier, which he gave out just one on Belmont Day, and it hit for another 1,300 or something. So
yeah, 1,300. He gave one last Saturday for 5,500. This Saturday at Belmont Day, he singled Essential Quality for free right now. And then, of course, he's a jackass. He's on Twitter tweeting, "You guys can't afford my picks anyway." But it's not, and that's not going to be our thing. That's never been our thing. We see people all the time on social media and on the internet selling their picks for $700, $800 a month. We don't do that. Our subscription services are between $15 and $40 a month. We're not here to rip people off. We're not here to sell you something that's fake. We're here to help the people make some money and have some success betting on sports, betting on horses. And a disclaimer, are we always going to be this scorching hot? No, we're not. But over the course of time, yeah, we're going to have more success than most people you're going to see. You know, our goal is to be the best handicapping service on the planet. That is our goal. That's okay that we're going to say that. But at the same time, it's gambling. You don't always hit, like, just for your horse racing picks. Okay, we torched Belmont yesterday. And, you know, we did not hit our pick six in the previous two Triple Crown races. So we came through. I wanted to catch you up on the CEO Twitter beef with the CEO of DJ Nation, who we had on here. He picked Rock Your World as a $500 bet. And, of course, I had Essential Quality. He needed Rock Your World. Rock Your World did not fire. So now I'm just trying to hit 6 out of 10. And so far I'm 4-2 after 6 picks. And I got the Yankees team total that's working right now as we record. So let's recap real quick, as this is the NBA episode here. We wanted to talk about the horses. We mentioned a little bit of the golf. Memphis versus Utah was our first round pick, and we all agreed that it was a 4 or 5 game series. Am I right, Coach?
Yeah, that's right.
And Memphis played well, didn't they?
Memphis is a good, nice young team. I mean, you watch them and you see Ja Morant. He's really good.
Dylan Brooks is good.
Him. I mean, they have a lot of young up and coming talent. They're going to
be Dylan Brooks was fantastic
moving forward. As those guys mature together, because they have a nice young core. They were a fun team to watch. They're just in the NBA, you have to have vets to advance, and they're just not there yet.
We talked about taking some spreads on Utah, taking some team totals. And again, they lost game one. We said we're firing game two. And we just kept playing Utah, and they came through for us. West Coast, talk to us about the Lakers and Phoenix real quick. That series is a big asterisk, because I remember you particularly saying it was dependent on the health of the Lakers.
Yes, I think that we all agreed that the health of many of these teams was going to be a factor in determining their series, and the Lakers never got healthy, and then the others on the Lakers team proved to be very minimal help in the scoring. And it became a little bit of a disastrous series, which did not surprise me with the way that the young guard from Phoenix is playing. He's going to be a great one. By the way, Ja Morant from Memphis, he reminds me of Allen Iverson. The guy is just tremendous. So there's some great young players playing in the league right now that are going to make it difficult for some of these older vets to get another chip.
And what I love about West Coast's style of handicapping is – he made a comment to me a few weeks ago about some body language that you saw from LeBron James when they were playing in Orlando. Actually, they were playing the Magic, if I remember. And you just said that you saw some body language from LeBron not playing in the game that you thought it looked like he was not 100% sure about this season.
Yep. I would agree with that. And I think that pretty much bared itself out. And, the Lakers were never healthy. They never came together as a team. They had 27,000 different lineups. They couldn't decide on who they wanted to play. They had six man of the year, Montrell. Couldn't even get in the game. Then they're playing, the older veteran, Gasol. I couldn't figure out what they were even trying to do. I couldn't figure out what they were trying to run offensively.
Right. Lack of identity there from them. And when you mentioned the body language thing, I noticed it in game four. When they had a chance to win game four and Phoenix pulled it out, because they did win, they won games two and three, and then Phoenix took four, and then they went back down to Phoenix and got their absolute asses handed to them. Yeah. And we were on Phoenix and their team total, I believe, that night with an infinity lock. Yep. And then we took the under, we took the over. Well, maybe that was game six we had that, but we did have an infinity lock on Phoenix to win that game straight up at plus money against the Lakers. And like you said, Devin Booker, I don't think his performance in game six can be overstated. That was an incredible playoff performance. I think he scored in the 40s. His shot is an absolute thing of art. He might have the best shot in the NBA, like just his shooting mechanics and balance. He comes off and he's fading away completely on balance. So Phoenix is going to be tough here. They proved that they had some guys other than Chris Paul. Denver and Portland, we predicted would be a wild series. We won't spend too much time talking about that. Denver got it done, but yeah, that was a wild series. Am I right, Coach?
Yeah, it was.
Jokic is incredible. Portland, I mean, Dame time was amazing. They don't have enough. I think McCollum is a little bit overvalued. Carmelo Anthony's playing well, but Denver plays Phoenix now. We'll talk about that in a second. And then the Clippers in Dallas, which I said on the last NBA preview, was that I'd never felt more confident of a 4 beating a 5 with the Clippers. And, of course, they made that series a lot harder than it needed to be. First series in NBA history that the road team won the first 6 games. And then just now we had an infinity lock on the spread as the Clippers covered. As we talked about in Game 7s, the last 50 Game 7s, the home team is 37-13 straight up and 30-20 against the spread. 60% coverage, that's pretty strong. That's a pretty strong angle. And they went on and covered as Dallas, you know, couldn't pull together another performance. Coach, talking real quick about Philly, they're having some injuries. They did beat the Wizards. What are you seeing from them right now?
Go ahead there, West Coast.
Well, Philly's got me a little bit concerned in the fact that I'm really trying to question what's going on with Ben Simmons. Unless he can score a little bit more and they can get some other scoring from their other guys, which they have with the potential slight knee injury to the big guy Embiid. Ben Simmons is just a real question mark to me. His free throw shooting, he cannot shoot the three or won't shoot the three. And then, you know, he has to score, you know, he has to get layups. So man, he had 17, and 10 assists, but you know, I mean, holy smokes. I can't understand how he's going to continue to be their number two scorer. And for them to win a chip.
And we'll get back to Philly as we break down that series with Atlanta. Yeah. But agree, we did have them as a walkover against the Wizards. The Wizards won a game, but that was it. Nets in Boston, we were all over Boston, won a game, not a big deal. That game three that we talked about is a dangerous game when you're up 2-0. Some crazy stats on the 2-0 team, or the team that's down 0-2, coming back home. Boston gets it done. Milwaukee absolutely ran through Miami, as predicted by the West Coast capper. Milwaukee just absolutely crushed them. Miami looked like they were content with their Eastern Conference championship the year before. And then Atlanta, I think we're all in agreement here that the Hawks were the best team that we did not realize. They were the surprise team of the first round. So West Coast, why don't you talk to me about what you saw from the Hawks?
The Hawks is very interesting, obviously very well coached. They rely on young guy Trey he's got to get 35 or 40, of course, for them to win, but he's capable of doing that. He plays with such tremendous confidence. I have never seen a guy rise to the occasion. I wasn't sure he was going to be the kind of pro that he is right now, but he's shooting, you know, Steph Curry like now. So that's
his passing. His passing is incredible.
Yeah.
He's so skillful.
I'm impressed. And this guy plays with tremendous confidence. And I'm telling you, he's gaining respect all around the league. Not that he didn't already have it, but man, he's rising to the occasion. Be careful when guys get like that. It's like Dame. It's like Dame and a Cub Booker and some of these other guys, man. There's a new cast of young guns coming in the NBA. Look out. They can
fuck. 100%. 100%. And you talked to us on here, and you two both took the Knicks in 7 in that series. And I was hesitant, but I said I took Atlanta. I thought they had more skill. And then it became obvious that we missed a game. On game 5, we took the Knicks in the first half money line. We had some stats that pointed to that. And it was just apparent that the Hawks have better players than the Knicks. They have more depth with John Collins and DeAndre Hunter from Virginia, Capella inside, Bogdanovich is good. Talk about Gallinari off the bench. Kevin Herter plays well. You know, they have more depth and more chemistry than I guess the public had realized, as people that were on Atlanta were freaking cashing out. And we did a little bit, but for the most part, we didn't play that series too much. So we'll head back to the West here, and we'll talk about these series. and give a little bit of a preview. The first one is the 1 versus 4, the Utah Jazz against the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm unsure before we start this on the health of Serge Ibaka, but he is a very important piece for LAC. If he is available, then that's a different series. So, Coach, you can go first and tell me what you think. What's going to happen in the Utah LAC?
Yeah, it's a series. It's a tough one to make a call on. You know, Utah, I think, has probably been the best team over the course of the entire year. And they're just absolutely loaded, and you got Rudy Gobert just protecting the rim like, you don't make them like that anymore at this stage of the game. Like he's like a, 1980s, 1990s center, classic center that you don't see anymore. But it's difficult. And the Clippers, you know, it feels like they just can flip the switch whenever they want, as we saw today. I didn't even watch the game. I turned it on and they were up 25 in the fourth. I said, okay, you know, that's what we were expecting. But then again, they lost every game at home before. So, I mean, I would expect them to bring their A game. You know, Kawhi is a champion. He's not going to go out lightly. But I picked the Clippers in our preview at the beginning, but I'm not so sure now that I don't feel too confident in it. Utah is a very tough out. They have guys that can – a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things. And, you know, it's going to be a good one.
For me, our guy that is one of our NBA contacts, he always warns us of not judging a team by one game or two games or even a whole series. He goes, sometimes what you saw in one series, you watch the next them play a different team, and it won't even be the same thing. So I'm take a cautious approach by judging the Clippers from having trouble with Luka Doncic. A, it was pretty obvious that Luka Doncic is not just one of the best players in the league. He's one of the best players in the league in a very long time. I haven't seen a guy outside of like a couple guys like a LeBron James that handles the ball that much and does that much for his team against an awesome team like the Clippers. I mean, West Coast, talking about Luka Doncic and how much of a hurdle that was for the Clippers to get through.
That was a big hurdle, and he made it very difficult. And I do think I heard something on an interview with Paul George and Kawhi that I think they did some video review in the last couple of games where they decided to defend him a little differently and guard Dallas in general a little differently. So I think they might have caught up with the Mavericks a little bit there at the end of that series. And I think that was apparent in the last couple of games. And also think the Mavericks ran out of gas. And I don't think Porzingis can be your second.
He wasn't. They were using Tim Hardaway, and then they started playing Boban. But yeah, I just thought Luka. We knew he was amazing. To me, that series, he just showed so much. I mean, he was incredible. So the Clippers getting over that hurdle, and then if they're able to get Serge Ibaka back, any chance for them to beat Utah? Again, Coach has them playing in the championship or potentially winning the championship. I have them winning the West. But now, you know, it's different because this was before we had some different playoff data in front of our eyes. So, West Coast, what do you think about the Utah and the Clippers series?
Well, I think I mentioned this in the last podcast that I'm a pretty big fan right now of Utah, and man, they can go, and those two guards can go, and Rudy Gobert defends. I think you have to have a rim defender a little bit to play against the Clippers, and so I have to say that I'm going to go with Utah in that series, believe it or not, and because of the fact that the Utah Jazz has really, really become a very good basketball team on both ends of the floor.
How many games do you think it's going to be?
I think I could go 6 or 7.
Yeah, it's going to be a long series. the Clippers are really professional. And one thing that I look back on is the year that Toronto beat Golden State. Toronto was less than convincing throughout the playoffs. They played a 7-game series against Philadelphia. They lost, I want to say, one or two games in their first round matchup against the Orlando Magic. And but as the playoffs went on, they really started to get better. And then next thing you know, they're dethroning the Golden State Warriors. Now that series has a lot of asterisks next to it with Kevin Durant injury, et cetera. But I'm not going to count. I cannot count the Clippers out. And I think JG, the Joker here, I have the Clippers winning that series. I think they're going to win it in 6 games. And I know that kind of goes against what we just saw. We saw the Clippers struggling, and we saw Utah looking like a complete juggernaut. But particularly if they get Ibaka back, because then they can throw out this lineup, which is one of the best lineups in the NBA. They can go with Paul George at the one, Kawhi Leonard, Markieff Morris, Serge Ibaka, and Zubac, and be an absolute beast on the defensive end and on the glass. And they could shoot. So that's a lineup that they could not use against Dallas, and Dallas was huge. So that, to me, is an amazing series. Denver and Phoenix, Coach, go ahead and talk to me about that.
Ooh, I think we saw Phoenix is not to be messed with. Jokic is great, you know, and it'll make it an interesting game, but series. But I just think Phoenix has too much. The Chris Paul thing has made all the difference in the world for that team. He's a vet. He's a leader. Take some of the pressure off of D-Book, where he can just do his thing. He doesn't have to be the vocal point of the team too. He can just go and drop his 35 to 40 a game. And I think, you know, I see that being a maybe 5 or 6 game series, but I think Phoenix advances there.
Right, and that was the most impressive team in the West as far as what we knew about them and what they proved. Same when we talked about Atlanta a second ago. So Phoenix for me, and I'm going to pay off the listeners here. If you're listening to this before Monday night's game, take Phoenix in game one. They are going to beat Denver in game one. They're -4 right now. I'm guessing it closes at -5 or -5.5. I'm not a huge fan of betting small spreads. I would rather pay the juice and take the money line, even if it's -180 or something like that. We know that that's kind of -2 picks mentality. So I would take the money line for a pretty big number, probably to win 20 units. I think Denver has no chance to beat Phoenix Monday night. West Coast, where are you at with that series?
I'm on the same page as you and the coach. I firmly believe that the pace of play is going to play a huge role in that series. I just think that the Phoenix Suns have the ability to play at a much faster pace, and they will force the pace in that series. And I think it might be done in 5 or 6.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, when you look at the shooters they got, because I'm not a huge Jay Crowder guy, but he can make threes. The guy from Villanova is playing great. Mikal Bridges, he was great in college. He's very good NBA player, very reliable, and he doesn't have a lot of emotion. And I look at that with Phoenix like that. They don't have a lot of emotion. Now they play hard as hell and they play together, but as far as like, they do not look nervous at all. They didn't look nervous at all in a closeout game against the Lakers. That's why if you read our write-up for that game, it says it's going to look just like Game 5, and it did. It's going to be more of the same from Game 5 because you just watched it. You just watched them absolutely destroy the Lakers. Why would it be different? You know, we just watched the contest. So I think we're in agreement here that Phoenix gets through Denver and plays in the Western Conference Finals. Utah and the Clippers is more of a toss-up. I'm going to take the Clippers. I've seen Kawhi do it before. Again, I've not seen Utah yet do it, so I'm going to go with what I've seen with my own eyes, and I've seen Kawhi Leonard do it before. Philadelphia and Atlanta, game one was today, and Embiid is banged up. Atlanta goes in there and gets up to a big lead. Philly tries to do what they can to come back. Atlanta wins game one. West Coast, how do you think this series is going to go from here?
It's again, it's all about injuries, and it has to do with Ben Simmons. mean, that guy's got to show up. And the other team's ability to foul him late in the game and secure their own victories by fouling him to make sure that he goes one for two from the line every time. And I just don't get it. I don't get it. And I'm confused by it. And some of those other guys on Philadelphia can shoot. And I want Ben Simmons to be a good player, but right now it makes no sense to me as far as trying to win, you know, a conference championship or something. So
you get Tobias Harris in there, shoots every time he has the ball.
Right. It's kind of gotten weird.
Seth Curry's playing well. Danny Green has been a guy that's been on championship teams. He's with the Lakers last year. He won a championship with the Spurs. He won a championship with the Raptors. He was an 0-for today.
He went 0-for-4 today.
Right. And so that's not going to happen. That's not always going to happen. They can beat Atlanta. They will need Embiid to be healthy. If Embiid is not healthy, I think they will lose to Atlanta. I think that they will. They'll lose in probably six games if Embiid cannot play. If he plays, I would probably still lean Philly in seven with the assumption that Embiid is 100% healthy. If he is, I'll take Philadelphia to win that series in seven. If he's not, I'll take Atlanta to win in six. Coach?
And I agree with that. If Embiid's not playing, I think Atlanta just has – they have the carefree basketball going right now because they're – you know, no one expected anything of them. We talked about earlier, Trey is a special player going into a raucous environment in Madison Square Garden, first playoff game in what, however many years, and he hits a game winner, you know, walks off the doing the ice cold thing. It's like he has no conscience, and it doesn't matter if he's in New York or Philly or wherever he is. If you know, he gets to go off and there's no response. Especially with a key player like Embiid going out, I think they would be able to get it done. So
yeah, I want to say they're eight and one in their last nine against the spread.
I would not take that series, man. I would be throwing bricks at my TV watching that series.
So that series for you is the kind of like past series.
Yes. Yep.
That's a good idea. You know, and honestly, it's funny you should say that because we passed today. Initially on our card, we gave out Atlanta +4. And it said with asterisks next to it, if Embiid is out, if Embiid plays, this is a pass. And then, of course, Atlanta won.
Too many question marks. That's right. Too many question marks.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, and again, you're investing your money in the series. And I don't want to invest my money unless I have a great idea of what it's going to look like. Milwaukee and Brooklyn. Brooklyn won game one in pretty Brooklyn Nets fashion. I said Brooklyn won, right?
Yes.
Brooklyn won in classic Nets fashion for this year. They played really well. Now, James Harden tweaked his hamstring trying to do a pregame hype move. He was like jumping up and down, running into the stanchion before the game started, and that's where he tweaked his hamstring. His health is now in question. Brooklyn beats Milwaukee despite not having James Harden. I know West Coast is big on Milwaukee. I'm huge on Brooklyn. Coach, you can start out with that. Give me your idea with or without Harden.
Without Harden, you know, that changes things a little bit because, you know, he's a guy that can get an easy 30 if needed. You know, if it gives Durant his breaks, he can play with the second team. He can play with the first team. You use him however you want him. I think that Milwaukee has been impressive, and I would see that probably going – if Harden's out, I see it going to 6 or 7. I still think I would lean to the Nets. If Harden's healthy and available, it could be short work, actually.
And I'll let the West Coast capper go in a second, but I want to give my thoughts here because Brooklyn is my pick to win the championship. I think that they can win the championship with or without James Harden. I think they have so much depth. They will not win in Milwaukee. They will not. I don't think they will win a single game in Milwaukee unless it is a like do or die game. But if they're up 2-0, they will go and they are going to get their asses kicked in game three by Milwaukee in Milwaukee. That said, they'll still win the series without James Harden. in my opinion. West Coast is probably going to combat that. And again, game one, don't overlook it. It was one game. Brooklyn played really well. They shot it well. They got contributions from other guys. So don't get too excited. But I still think Brooklyn wins the series with or without Harden. West Coast?
Well, I'm kind of – I had to raise my eyebrow and had a little cringe after watching the Nets just absolutely smack the Milwaukee Bucks' ass. And I looked at that and I went, holy smokes, Batman. That they don't need James Harden, and they could beat that rear end anyway without him, to be quite honest with you. And it looked like they were just fine doing it. And unless I see the Bucks make a little push in game two, I think they're in dire trouble. But I'm a big Bucks fan. I thought they had a tremendous season. I think that's a professional team this year. But, man, those Nets and Blake Griffin, what he did, he destroyed them.
He's good, isn't he? Skilled. He's smart.
And I'm here to tell you, man, with that physical presence, it's a little scary. It's a little scary. I had picked the Bucks, but man, I'm watching it now and I went, whoa.
But we had a stat. We had a stat yesterday, and it's the Nets are essentially 8-1 against the spread in their last 9 at home as a favorite. And Milwaukee is like 0-8 as their last 8 as an underdog. And statistically, although they have looked strong, particularly against lower competition, if you look back at how they did against playoff teams this year, they were not very good. And then also, West Coast, they're missing a starting player in Dante DiVincenzo, who's a good three-point shooter and a defender. Right. He's a good athlete. So when you're losing a starter, and they simply don't have the depth of players as the Nets has. They just don't. So to me, Brooklyn is going to win the Eastern Conference with or without Harden, provided that the other two guys stay healthy. But as far as they can roll shooters off the bench at you, I mean, Joe Harris is fantastic. That's probably the best shooter in the NBA without Klay Thompson, him or Booker. And, I mean, Booker's not just a shooter. Booker's more of a scorer. But as far as just a three-point shooter, Joe Harris is the best in the NBA right now. And they have guys that come in and just do their job that are athletic. Then you got Kyrie that's motivated. He's better than Drew Holiday. Kevin Durant's better than any other wing for Milwaukee. So you have Utah versus the Clippers, Denver versus Phoenix. We were kind of torn on the Clippers, Utah, and then we had Phoenix. So, Coach, do you still have the Clippers coming out of the West?
Yeah, I'm going to stick by them. I think we saw their potential today. We talked a little bit about the idea that you can't really judge a team off of, you know, one game or one series, especially when you're the caveat of playing against just an incredible player like Luka. And also, I'm not sure how seriously they really took it. Like, if we said, hey, you know, you have to win this in four games, or, you know, there were some circumstances. We saw they could lose every game at home and then go and beat them, that game three or game four, it was
They were down 0-2.
Like, what, 89 points or something? I mean,
they were down 0-2. They went in there and crushed them twice, and they came back and kind of gave a lackluster effort that backfired on us in game five. Then they went down and they were a little bit on the brink. They trailed by 8 midway through the third in game 6, a closeout game. And then they ended up winning by 10 and just kind of turned it on, like you said. And obviously game 7 was a no contest, even though Dallas did have the lead in the third. They immediately made 2 threes and regained submission in the contest.
So I'm going to stick with the Clippers.
Okay. West Coast.
I'm still staying with Utah. I think that I love their two guards, and I love their rim protectors. I like their team. I like their coach. I like their system.
Are we in agreement here that the winner of the Clippers and Jazz are going to beat the winner of Denver and Phoenix?
I believe so. I am. I'm convinced of that.
I would agree with that. I think the Clippers are going to go in, and I think they're going to beat Utah in game one. I think the Clippers are still – the team to beat on the West side. Eastern Conference, Philly and Atlanta, we thought was somewhat of a toss up. Are we in agreement that the winner of Milwaukee and Brooklyn probably, Coach, goes on to the NBA championship?
Yep. In agreement.
And West Coast?
Well, I hate to change my tune. I still love the Bucks, but man, do after what I saw the Nets do to them, they just looked like they were the better team. You know, they had to, you know, kind of like when you watch teams, you have to watch matchups, and they have to pass the eye test. The Bucks did not pass the eye test against the Nets. They did not.
It was one game, and again, this is going to be the classic series that the Nets are probably going to win game two, and you're going to think, okay, this series could be over, and then Milwaukee is going to come and give a tremendous home effort in games three and four. We've seen it over and over again in the NBA, this overreaction, and you get home fans back in the building. So this is still, to me, this is still going to be a long series that Brooklyn will win. I have Brooklyn winning the championship against the Clippers. My tune has not changed. Coach?
I'll stick with – it's the same the Nets and Clippers, and I'll stick with the Clippers.
And West Coast?
Nets. I'm going to change my mind after
watching it. You're allowed to do that. That is what a good gambler does. A good gambler does not – certainly not – beat its head against the wall because they want their pick to be right. If you see something that you think you know is about to happen, you can feel it, and then you have the data behind it to back it up with.
Well, just the basketball part of it, I watched the wall that they put in front of Giannis for him to try to get to the basket. He never got there.
Right. Right. I think he will breach the wall at home. Brooklyn is the NBA champion. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you at the windows to cash the tickets. Patreon.com/minus2picks. Let's have a great week.
And here we go.
Lillard, a chance to send the Thunder home. Lillard, long range three. And it's good! At the buzzer! Damian Lillard, are you kidding me? Back to Doncic. Doncic pulls up, three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good! Doncic wins the game at the buzzer! James catches, puts up the three. Won't go! Rebound, Bosh. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining! Spurs do not have a timeout!
This is Menace to Picks.